Thank you for listening to The Real Deal with Damian Adams. This is Real Sports Talk for the Real Sports Fan. And I definitely appreciate all you Real Sports fans who are listening right now. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do me a huge favor and leave this podcast a 5-star rating. That 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th, that 5-star rating review will definitely be appreciated. If you're listening on any other platform, that could be Podomatic, iHeartRadio, or wherever, please share it from that platform so that your friends and family can find the podcast, listen to the podcast, love the podcast, subscribe, and then share with their friends and family. I'm trying to get this podcast to the highest levels of podcastivity, and I need your help to get there. I would truly, truly appreciate it. Got a big time episode for you guys today. Some NFL talk, some NBA talk, some 90s talk. We're going to get to all of it today. We're going to start with the NFL. NFL free agency has been absolutely bananas, absolutely crazy. So I'm going to get into it. I'm going to go by each team. Now, some moves will get a lot more attention than others. Let's start with the AFC. All right. So I'm just looking at the NFL free agency tracker from NFL.com. So it should be very up to date. Let's start with the AFC East. All right. Looking at the Buffalo Bills. They didn't do anything crazy that catches your attention. Shout out to Curtis Samuel. Still out here getting money. You know what I'm saying? Get paid, man. Get paid. 3 years, $30 million. Seems like he's been in the league forever. Still getting that money. And they do need a consistent threat to get a first down, right? Like, you have Stephon Diggs, who's amazing, but they were missing that guy who you can just go to on 3rd and 5, where, you know, Josh Allen doesn't have that run that's available to him. He can just go to somebody who can get you 6 yards on 3rd and 5. Curtis Samuel's that guy. Looking at the other ones here, they extended Deion Dawkins, 3 years, $16.5 million. Good Lord, that's a lot of money. Shout out to him for getting that money. But nothing else really stands out to me from what they did in free agency. Looking at Miami, trying to look at their deals here. Nothing crazy that they did here. I like adding Kendall Fuller at cornerback. That's a good move for them. But outside of that, nothing really major for them. Shaq Barrett at edge, good pickup. I like Aaron Brewer as center. 3 years, $21 million is a good deal. For the Patriots, Jacoby Brissett, 1 year, $8 million to be the backup QB or to be the transition QB for whatever rookie they bring in. I like it. Let me see here. Antonio Gibson, that's a good deal. I think he's still a good back. They brought back Jalen Reagor. Okay. KJ Osborne, very gifted receiver, small but gifted. See here, kept Hunter Henry around. Shout out to him. But looks like they're waiting for the draft to really make their splash. For the New York Jets, underrated move, Tyrod Taylor. 2-year contract for $18 million. That's real big. If Aaron Rodgers goes down again, you need somebody who can step up to win you games. But I do like how they are trying to fix the offensive line. Right, you sign Morgan Moses, or get him from a trade, with Baltimore. You also sign Tyron Smith. Now, Tyron Smith, someone who hasn't been able to really stay healthy on a consistent basis the last couple of years, so you worry about that, but it is a one-year deal. Looks like he's getting those contracts that Darrelle Revis used to get as a cornerback back in the day, where now you're like, okay, 1 year, $20 million, go do your thing. And random shout out to Thomas Moorhead, the punter, man. He's been around forever, still getting paid out here. So that was the AFC East. Not too many huge moves in the AFC East. So now let's go to the AFC North. And you got to start with Baltimore. So before I get to Derrick Henry, shout out to Josh Johnson just staying around. My man has been on 50-11 teams, and he's still staying around. So shout out to him. But Derrick Henry, of course, is the big move for them. 2 years, $16 million. That's a great deal. Only $9 million guaranteed. That's a great deal for the Baltimore Ravens. And I like Derrick Henry behind that line, running in a system with Lamar Jackson. I can see that really working out well for them. And Derrick Henry extending his career because he's not going to be asked to run into 8-man fronts each and every time he runs the ball. He's not going to be the lone weapon. And some people don't think a read option can work with Lamar Jackson, and Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson can adjust to Derrick Henry's running style. And they can have a read option that can work. You can even do a bootleg version of that. So when I say bootleg, I don't mean like in a bad way. I mean bootleg as in when a quarterback does a play action and goes around the corner. That type of bootleg. So Lamar Jackson can do a handoff on a stretch type play and look at the back end where the other edge rusher is coming from. If you leave him unblocked, you can read him on that play. If you could picture what I'm saying right now, Lamar Jackson's handing the ball off to Derrick Henry on a stretch play. So they're going outside tackle. And on the back end, so let's say they run to the left. On the right end, that defensive lineman or that edge rusher may be unblocked. So if he goes rushing in to try to catch Derrick Henry from behind, Lamar Jackson can read that, pull the ball, and escape around the side. You've seen that sometimes with Michael Vick back in the day. And that's something that they can add to this offense because Derrick Henry is such a threat. I think that this is a great move for them. And I can't wait to see what they do going forward in the draft. Cincinnati, they've been very busy. I think it was really big of them to franchise tag T. Higgins. You know, you got to try to keep those wide receivers together as long as possible. I don't know if they can sign him long term because you got so much money, right? You only have so much money to pay Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, the defensive players on that team. So it's going to be tough. They had to get rid of Joe Mixon, probably because of that. They did sign Zach Moss, so I think it's a good pickup. But looking at the rest of their deals, I like Sheldon Rankins. I think that's a good deal for a defensive tackle, former Saint right there, who definitely does his thing. But I like what they're doing so far and keeping that team together. Cleveland, Jameis Winston as the backup, I think it's a good move. Good move. Deshaun Watson, if he doesn't turn it around and become good, that's a huge, huge mistake that they made if it doesn't turn around. I'm not saying it won't turn around because he's still so young. Like, it's not like he's 35. Like, this dude's still in his 20s and should be good. I think Jerry Jeudy is a good pick at wide receiver as well. Good pickup. I like Nyheim Hines as well. He's a running back slash receiver. Good kickoff returner. So I like that signing. So I like what they did. And also Devin Bush at linebacker. Okay. I see that. That defense is already mean, so I can see it becoming even better. Now we get to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're probably the most interesting team so far. So they signed Russell Wilson, right? And Russell Wilson's very cheap because he's still getting paid by Denver. So when you think about the fact that you only have to pay him the minimum, very low risk, very low risk. If he sucks, all right, put him on the bench. And then you sign or you trade for Justin Fields, only giving up a 6th-round pick, maybe 4th-round if Justin Fields plays more than half the year. Man, great move by Pittsburgh because now with Russell Wilson, you got a veteran who didn't play bad last year. I think that's getting lost. Like with all the stuff that happened, all the drama that happened with him and the injury clause in his contract and all that stuff, he didn't play bad last year. Denver was starting to come around before all the drama happened, and he was actually playing decent. He wasn't great, but he was playing decent enough to win games. And you think about a team like Pittsburgh with that defense. They just didn't have a quarterback last year. Kenny Pickett, we know, isn't good. Mason Rudolph, we know, isn't good. They haven't had a truly good quarterback in a while. So with Russell Wilson being there, like, okay, he's decent. He's a veteran. He shouldn't make mistakes. He can make sure he doesn't lose us games. And if he is bad, we have this young guy behind him in Justin Fields who we can see if he's worth it. And then he could be the long-term solution going forward if he's able to learn and just pick up some things from Russell Wilson and just being around that Pittsburgh organization. They also made some other moves. Getting Patrick Queen at linebacker? That defense is already nasty? What? Dante Jackson at cornerback? What? Like, Pittsburgh's trying to make some moves. They're trying to finally get out of that, or we're going to be just over 500 phase. I like what they're doing. Get to the AFC South. So let's start with the Texans. They traded with Cincinnati to get Joe Mixon. I do like that move. Their running attack was lackluster last year. And a good running attack can really help the development of their young QB. So I like that move. Re-signing Noah Brown at wide receiver had to be done. So I like what they're doing there. They made some other moves as well. So I think they're really going in the right direction. Danielle Hunter, edge rusher, 2 years, $49 million, 48 guaranteed. I love it. He's definitely good, and I think a 2-year deal is great for his age and where he's at right now. The Colts, so they get Joe Flacco on a 1-year deal to be a backup. Okay, I like it. Joe Flacco definitely showed that he still could be a backup in this league, and with their young QB, Richardson, they don't know if he can stay healthy throughout a year yet, so you need a good backup, so I like that move. And my guy, who was their quarterback last year, just definitely, when you look at what they did last year, the fact that they did it with that quarterback really stands out, because they almost made the playoffs, and Buddy wasn't good. Buddy was not good last year, but he still ended up getting paid, which we'll find out later here as we go through the teams. But looking at what else the Colts have done, I like what they've done, man. Zaire Franklin, that linebacker, I like that move. So, good things for the Colts. Good things for the Colts. Resigning Michael Pittman, I like that deal for sure, because I think he's a dog. Jacksonville. So, Jacksonville, you get you a backup in Mac Jones on a cheap. I like it. D'Ernest Johnson, good deal. He's a good running back who just hasn't had his chance to be a star, but I think he's really good. Gabe Davis, 3 years, $39 million. A little pricey for Gabe Davis after being disappointing in Buffalo, and he was supposed to be that second guy. So maybe he can do it in Jacksonville. Devin Duvernay, lots of speed. He got lots of speed in the wide receiver room. Let me see here. Then other deals are just holding on to their people. Eric Armstead, defensive line, 3-year deal. $51 million if it maxes out. I like it. Tennessee. Okay. Tony Pollard. I guess they're just going with more of a... I guess they're trying to go with more of just a quickness to their game instead of that thunder, that just thudding that they had with Derrick Henry. But Tony Pollard, I think it's good when he's splitting carries. He's not the solo guy. Calvin Ridley, 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. I'm surprised he didn't stay in Jacksonville and to go to Tennessee. That's probably going to hurt Jacksonville a lot to see him twice a year. That's tough. Kenneth Murray, a linebacker, I like that deal. So I like what they're doing there. So now let's talk about the AFC West. Denver, outside of getting rid of Russell Wilson, hasn't done much. Kansas City. Marquise Brown going to Kansas City on a 1-year deal, $11 million. I like that move. He definitely could be good in that system for sure. Legarius Sneed, keeping on, you know, holding on to him. That's a big deal. Nothing else really huge stands out to me. Gardner Minshew. So this is the quarterback for the Colts that I was talking about. Got a 2-year, $25 million. Good Lord, that's a lot of money for a backup. Including $15 million guaranteed to play for Las Vegas Raiders. So, Gardner Minshew, you know, the money he's getting, you know, used to make the jokes about Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel, if you're not familiar with him, was a backup in the league for a long time who kept getting paid just because he was a backup behind Drew Brees. And it was like, oh, he was behind Drew Brees. Gardner Minshew has had some success as a starter, but not that much. And last year with the Colts had some laughable moments. But because of that success or that experience as a starter has become very highly touted and got paid for. Shout out to him. Nothing else really stands out for... Oh, I'm sorry. Christian Wilkins. 4 years, $110 million. Good Lord, that's a lot of money. Including $84 million guaranteed. Sorry, I almost missed that one. On a D-line for the Raiders. That's a big-time contract. Shout out to him. But the Raiders, I still don't see being good. Now, for the Chargers. Yo. The Chargers, you know, their big deal, of course, was getting a coach in John Harbaugh. Now, it's all about keeping their quarterback healthy, right? If Justin Herbert's healthy, this team is good. They did lose their longtime receiver, Keenan Allen. So it's going to be interesting to see if the coaching change is the biggest need they needed, right? Is that going to change everything for them? We'll have to wait and see. So that was my quick recap of the AFC. We're going to take our first music break when I come back. Got to talk about the NFC.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The Real Deal with Damian Adams. Hopefully you enjoyed that music break. So now let's get into the NFC and their free agency moves. Let's start with the NFC East. I was going to talk about Dallas Cowboys, but they haven't done much. They only literally signed four people. Running back Rico Doody, or Doughty, Dotto. Last name is spelled D-O-W-D-L-E. Not familiar with him, but he's re-signed to the team. So he was on the team last year. Eric Kendricks, good linebacker. Jordan Lewis, corner, good corner. And Trent Saeed, special teams player. That's it. That's all I've done. Giants. I got Drew Lock, so, you know, back up with some experience. Devin Singletary at running back. See, Isaiah McKenzie at wide receiver. Not a bad move. But Brian Burns, that's a big move for them. They made a trade with the Panthers to get Brian Burns. And only traded away some fifth round picks. That's it? And Burns did get a new deal worth up to $150 million, $76 million guaranteed. Get your money, man. Get your money. That's a good deal for them. Definitely always can use that, you know, dominant edge rusher. And Jalen Mills, I think that's a good cornerback as well. Philadelphia, this is where it gets spicy. Kenny Pickett, good backup. Or backup with some starting experience. I shouldn't say good. But of course, the big deal was Saquon Barkley, 3 years, $37.75 million, $25 million guaranteed. I think Saquon's going to be really good in this offense. Really good in this offense. I talked about the read option options earlier with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. Saquon Barkley is someone who isn't as polished as, say, Christian McCaffrey or even Alvin Kamara when it comes to catching the ball in the backfield, but still can be used in a dangerous way. And I think that the Eagles are going to definitely find the best way to use him. I love the move. I love how some people take it personally that are Giants fans that he dares sign with the Eagles. Yo, it's business. It's business. I get that we as fans don't want to see our favorite players or our star players go and sign with a rival team. It happens. As a Saints fan, I hate to see any Saint go to the Falcons. But if that Falcons team is willing to pay more, I got to understand it. I got to understand it. You know, but as a fan, we're the ones who have to stay loyal. Not the players. The players have to stay loyal because the teams don't stay loyal to the players. So why the players stay loyal to the team? Like, that's stupid. Devontae Parker, somebody who, he's always been like, oh, so much potential. Like, you just who you are at a certain point. Like, my man, former Cardinals and Vikings coach Denny Green said, they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. Devontae Parker is who we thought he is. Like, that's who he is at this point. Let me see here. Nothing else really stands out. Devin White, a linebacker, like that move. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, bringing him back. 3 years, $33 million. Big move right there. I hate that the Saints gave him up. I'm a Saints fan. If it's your first time listening, I'm a big Saints fan and definitely not excited about what we've done in free agency so far. I'll tell you that. Jake Elliott, big-time kicker. 4 years, $24 million. Kickers out here getting paid now. $14.2 million guaranteed. Man. Never thought I'd see the day kickers out here getting paid like that. But kickers are very important. I know you like to make fun of kickers and, you know, say, hey, I got one job. That one job is really important. So shout out to Jake Elliott. Washington, they signed Marcus Mariota to a one-year deal. I'm presuming to be a backup or maybe be a transition guy for the rookie that comes in. Austin Eckler, 2 years, $11.43 million. For a running back as good as Eckler to only get $11 million over 2 years, man, that's tough. Let me see. Jamison Crowder. No. Free agent. Signed a free agent deal here. Re-signed with them. Let's see here. Nothing else really stands out in a big way for them. So now let's go to the NFC North. Chicago. So obviously Chicago is going in a direction where they're going to pick a quarterback in the draft. They let Justin Fields go for a bag of chips and some non-laters. So of course they are moving on. They re-signed, or signed, I should say, Brett Ripien as a backup QB. DeAndre Swift, I think, is a good deal. 3 years, $24 million. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Keenan Allen. I like that, getting a veteran wide receiver. Hopefully he can stay healthy as well to go along with DJ Moore. Looking at the rest of these moves. Gerald Everett, good deal at tight end. But obviously they're trying to improve the O-line as well. Getting Ryan Bates and Matt Pryor on that O-line. And set it up for their rookie, whoever they draft, Caleb Williams or whoever else, to be successful. For Detroit. Let me see here with Detroit. See anything really stands out. Nothing crazy big from them. But they're staying the course. Marcus Davenport at edge, 1 year deal. He's somebody who has a lot of potential. He can stay healthy as well. Like, I can see him being a Saints fan song for years and would see that potential sometimes come out. But he can never just be consistent. If he can be consistent, you can get him to stay healthy for a while, there may be a steal. Green Bay. Very interesting deal from Green Bay. To sign running back Josh Jacobs for 4 years, $48 million. I think that's a good move. Some people have clowned that move, but I think Josh Jacobs in a different offense could be really good. I think he could be just as good, if not better, than the production he had at running back this year. So I don't think it's as bad a move as other people think it is. Keeping A.J. Dillon, so you have that two-headed monster at running back. Xavier McKinney, 4 years, $68 million, $25 million guaranteed at safety. I like that move as well. For the Vikings. So the Vikings obviously are moving on and let, you know, I was going to say consistent with Kirk Cousins. Let him go. And you move on. You got Sam Darnold at QB. Obviously, they're probably going to try to make another move and draft somebody or something, because going into the season with Sam Darnold as your starter can't be the move. Aaron Jones only getting $7 million on 1 year. Seems kind of crazy, because he's a good back. He had really good production for Green Bay. But I like, you know, him going to Minnesota could be a good move, depending on if they get that QB. But nothing else really stands out for them. NFC South, this is where it gets spicy. Kirk Cousins, 4 years, $180 million. $50 million signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed. What? Coming off an Achilles at 36 years old? Shout out to Kirk Cousins, man. He may not be a Hall of Famer in the NFL, but he's a Hall of Famer at the bank. My man is out here getting paid. Shout out to him. And I do think that it is an upgrade for them. Obviously, he's better than the options they've had over the last couple of years at quarterback. But now that they have a new coaching staff, I think they're going to use Kirk Cousins well. And I can see them winning the NFC South, maybe. As much as I hate the Falcons, as a Saints fan, if you're not familiar with that rivalry, it's real. Can't stand the Falcons. I hate them with every bean in my body. But I have to give credit where it's due. I do like what they've done with that move. They picked up some wide receivers. Nothing huge, but I can see them doing some good things with Rondale Moore. Let me see here. But that's it for them. But Kirk Cousins, of course, is the big move. And obviously, they're trying to go forward, trying to win the NFC South because it's wide open. The Carolina Panthers. There's a lot of names here. A lot of names. Deontay Johnson. I think he's a really good number one receiver. So you're giving their quarterback somebody to throw to. A'shaun Robinson at defensive tackle. I like that move. But I still don't see them being anywhere near decent. They're going to be trash again. For the Saints. How is Nathan Peterman still in the league? What's happening? Peterman has never showed any ability to be good. None. But still in the league. Who does he know? What are his connections? Like, I just don't get it. Cedric Wilson at wide receiver, I like that move. I think he'd be good. Let me see here. They extended DeMario Davis and Tyrann Mathieu, two veterans who are getting a little up there, but still are showing signs of being good. So I like that they extended them on short deals. I saw here today they signed Chase Young, edge rusher, $13 million 1 year. Not too bad. I don't mind that risk because Chase Young still has all the potential in the world, all the physical gifts. And with the 49ers, he was inconsistent. So 1 year, prove it yourself, right? And we'll see what goes from there. Tampa Bay re-signed Baker Mayfield, 3 years, $100 million. Hey, Baker Mayfield did play good last year. He definitely showed himself to be somebody who can lead a team to the playoffs, especially in a bad division. Mike Evans, 2 years, $52 million. Like that deal, right? He's getting a little up there, but he's still good. Every year, 1,000 yards this past year, just balled out. So he's still showing what he can do. So shout out to them. And they're still going to be definitely in the front there when it comes to being one of the best teams in the NFC South. So as much as I hate to say it, the Saints might be the third best team in the division next year between the Falcons, behind the Falcons and Bucks. NFC West, the Cardinals got Desmond Ridder as a backup. Let me see here, what else? Nothing else really stands out as big. You know, some other, you know, low tier deals, but nothing really major. The Rams signed Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay, good, you know, good backup for sure. And of course, they had the loss of Aaron Donald, one of the greatest defensive players to ever play, as you know, he retired. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Rams going forward for sure. For the 49ers, shout out to Josh Dobbs out here still getting paid. Going to be a backup. Let's see here. But nothing else really stands out as huge deals for them. Leonard Floyd, like that move right there on the edge. For Seattle, got Sam Howell as a backup. Let's see here. Nothing else really crazy for them. So that was my NFC recap. We're going to take a quick music break and come back with my top five MVP candidates going into the last month of the NBA season. We'll be right back.
The body. I rock the party that rocks the body. like me. Complicated rap star, meet like the MC. You see, I'm on to your baby and your mechanism. How you hit it when you're in it so hot? You keep it sizzling, the ooh-ah, she ooh. And all of that too, keep me wetter than the waters of Kalamazoo. Who you coming with? Where your posse at? But leave the boys alone, tell her you won't be back. I got the cheese, baby, my cheddar's better. I got that milk, feel that I'm a redder. Trust you, me, I'll blow up shop. Have a little nick, call the cops, watch. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body, body, body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body. I rock the party that rocks the body. You rock the party that rocks the body.
Welcome back to The Real Deal with Damian Adams. Hopefully you enjoyed that music break. So now let's get into some basketball talk. And I'm going to give you my top five MVP candidates along with a few honorable mentions. And also just talk about a few trends I've seen over the last couple of weeks in the NBA. So let's start with my top five MVP candidates going into this last month of the NBA season. At number five, I got Jason Tatum. He's the best player on the best team. So I feel like that's going to get you in the top five, especially when the team is the best by far. Like, Boston has the best record in the Eastern Conference by 9.5 games. Like, that's crazy. Going into tonight, I'm recording this on Monday, March 18th. They have 53 wins and 14 losses. Milwaukee's in second with 44 wins and 24 losses. They're even 6 games better than OKC, who's number one in the Western Conference. By far, best regular season team. You have to give Jason Tatum some love for that. This year so far, averaging 27.1 points per game, 8.3 rebounds per game, 4.9 assists per game, 47% from the field he's shooting, and 38% from three. At number four, I got Luka Doncic. Now, he doesn't have the team success of Jason Tatum, but individually, yo, he is putting up some crazy numbers this year. 34.4 points per game, which is leading the NBA. 9.7 assists, 9 rebounds, shooting 49% from the field, 38% from three. At number three, I got Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis is averaging 30.8 points per game, 11.2 rebounds per game, 6.4 assists per game, shooting 61% from the floor, and still a menace defensively. The Bucks have been much better on defense since they got Doc Rivers in. I didn't like the firing of Adrian Griffin, but it do look much better. Even got a big win over Phoenix on Sunday with no Giannis playing. Was able to score 140 on the Suns, which I'll get into the Phoenix Suns here in a little bit. At number two, got Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic this year, 25.9 points per game, 12.2 rebounds, 9.1 assists, shooting 58% from the floor, 34% from three. At number one, I got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 30.9 points per game, 6.3 assists, 2 steals, 5.7 rebounds, shooting 54% from the floor, 37% from 3, 87% from the free throw line. And his team is number 1 in the Western Conference. He's shooting 87% from the free throw line on 8.9 free throw attempts per game. So this is not just barely going to the free throw line. Like, he's there a lot and makes his free throws. And is also a very good defensive player. Like, it's maybe all defense this year. Nikola Jokic is never going to be all defense. Understand his impact on the game is massive, the way he controls the game. But you can't say that Nikola Jokic controls the game more than SGA does, because of what SGA does on both ends. So I understand that Nikola Jokic should be the MVP frontrunner, especially with him winning it twice already. But SGA should be the winner so far this year. Now, still got some time left. Nikola Jokic can go on a crazy run. But SGA is my MVP so far. So for my top 5, I got Jason Tatum at 5, Luka Doncic at 4, Giannis at 3, Nikola Jokic at 2, and SGA at 1. For a few of my honorable mentions that could sneak up on the ballot, Jalen Brunson at 27.5 points per game, 6.4 assists, shooting 47% from the field and 40% from 3. Kawhi Leonard, 23.8 points per game, 6.7 rebounds, shooting 52% from the floor, 42% from 3, 89% from the free throw line. Anthony Edwards, 26.5 points per game, 5.4 rebounds, 5 assists per game, or shooting 46% from the field, and being a great defender on one of the best defensive teams in the league. The NBA is stacked with talent right now, man. And it's hard to crack that top 5 MVP. Let me know if you agree with my 5. So now let's get into just some things I've noticed. Start the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix Suns may be in the midst of a devastating season. Devastating. So right now as I speak, they're number 8 in the Western Conference. They're tied at 39-29 with Dallas. Dallas has a tiebreaker. So they could find themselves in the play-in, playing at Dallas for their playoff lives. When they struggle with Dallas, they have no answer for Luka Doncic, no answer for Kyrie. Now, Dallas may not have an answer for Booker or for KD and Bill, but for some reason, they execute better. Now, I believe that Frank Vogel's a good coach, but when you have a team with the talent level that the Suns have, and they're one of the worst fourth quarter teams we've ever seen. Not just this year. They're one of the worst fourth quarter teams we've ever seen in the history of the league. You gotta look at the coaching. You have to. I wrote an article earlier this year saying that Frank Vogel was the man for the job, because I've seen him adjust throughout the years. When you look at what he did in Indiana, you look at the tough time he had in Orlando, but then being able to adjust and win a championship with the Lakers. I'm like, okay, he's been through the ups and downs of this league. He's the perfect candidate to be able to go into Phoenix with the stars they have and win. Now, I knew that the defense wouldn't be your normal Frank Vogel defense, because they don't have the personnel for that. They don't have a big man who can do the things that he needs, right? They don't have a Roy Hibbert who can do those things. They don't have Anthony Davis who can do those things, right? Nurkic, good rebounder, big body, but defensively can be a liability at times. We saw that on Sunday against Milwaukee. Milwaukee was crazy hot. Bobby Portis had the half of his life, 25 points in the first half of that game. But the reason they got crazy hot is because they were wide open. And some of that you can't blame on the coach. Some of that is just effort of the players. Not rotating, not running out, not closing out the way they should, that's on them. When it comes to the execution in the fourth quarter, why is it always bogged down? Now, you can point to the lack of a point guard, but again, that comes down to execution. And Frank Vogel's part of blame to that, but also They have veteran players. Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. They have to find ways to execute and run an offense in those situations. And part of the problem is they have three of the same player at different levels. They all want to work in mid-range. They all work in ISO. They all, when they do the pick and roll, they're staking to get to the mid-range. And they're all great at it. Kevin Durant's having one of the best years of his career at 35 years old. Amazing. Amazing. But it's not translating to his team being successful. And I get that they dealt with injuries. I get that. But even when all three have played, they haven't been great. All three of those dudes played against Milwaukee on Sunday, and Milwaukee didn't have their best player. And they damn near got ran out the building. Now, again, it comes down to defense, lack of effort, and execution. Frank Vogel, maybe he's been hamstrung by the lack of depth on this team. And they've made moves to try to shore that up by getting Royce O'Neal. But what is it that's keeping this team from being great? It's just, for me, I really think that if they mess around and are not able to get to that sixth spot, they have to play Dallas or even Sacramento. That's a tough game for them as well. In that play-in game, they lose, and then they have to play the winner of the 9-10 matchup, which looks like it's going to be Lakers-Golden State. All those are tough matchups for them. They mess around, got to play the Lakers in a must-win game for the AC. That's tough. Now, if they get in with the talent they have, they're dangerous, because let's say OKC does finish with the one seed. They have the size to go at OKC. Now, OKC has the depth and the spacing to mess them up. It's a very interesting matchup. But they can find themselves either losing the play-in or losing in the first round in five games. And that's disastrous for this team. Especially with all the tax money they're going to have to pay. This team is over the cap by a lot. Like, they maxed out the credit card and then got another credit card. Like, that's how over the cap they are. They can't have this happen in this way. They have to try to get to the sixth seed and then maybe play Minnesota, who's going to be down Karl-Anthony Towns. That's their way to get to the second round. Now, if they get to the second round and maybe they play Denver, they probably still lose, but it's not as bad. But anything less than the Western Conference Finals is a disaster. It's a disaster for this team, because they've had a full season with KD and Booker. Bradley Beal, I know, has been in and out, but those are the two that make you supposedly a title contender. Bradley Beal is the icing on the cake. Like, you can have the cake without the icing. It doesn't taste as good, but you can still have it. So for me, it comes down to, they have to get to the Western Conference Finals. And the only way to do that is to get to that sixth spot. I understand they have a tough schedule. They got some tough games down the stretch, but they can't find themselves in the play-in, especially going against Dallas, and then having to face maybe the Lakers, who have been thrown on their side all season. And they could not make the playoffs, period? What? That's bad news. That's all bad. The New Orleans Pelicans, man. My Pelicans, whew, they're looking good. They're looking good lately. They're only one game behind the Clippers for the fourth spot. And they have a tiebreaker over the Clippers. They can mess around and get home court advantage. And I think people are underestimating how live, how hype the Smoothie King Center will be. The blender is what they call it. How hype and live is going to be in there. I was listening to Bill Simmons podcast, and he asked the question, does home court matter in that series? Because it looks like that's going to be the series, Clippers-Pelicans. And the Clippers aren't known for a great home court advantage because they play in the Lakers' home that's going to change next year. the Pelicans aren't known for a great home court advantage because they haven't been in the playoffs enough to really get recognized nationally. But I think this year people are going to recognize, yo, when you go in there, it's a lot. Ask Phoenix Suns about it. Phoenix Suns color commentator Eddie Johnson accused the Pelicans of pumping in sound. Those are the same fans that go to the Saints games, y'all. And what is the Saints known for as far as their home court advantage? The noise. It's New Orleans. The people are going to be drunk when they go in there. They're going to be loud already. Like, that home court advantage in there is crazy. If you've been watching them lately, how hyped people are because we have a good team this year. I think they could beat the Clippers. Clippers ain't got no matchup for Zion. Zion's been amazing lately. Knock on wood. Knock on everything that they stay healthy. He's been amazing. That team is dangerous. And the way the matches are lining up, they can mess around and play OKC in the second round. OKC doesn't have size either. They could make a surprise deep run. They really could. In the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee is looking better. They're looking better. Dame, starting to look like Dame again a little bit, especially in that Phoenix game. Cleveland, they're looking good. They blew up my Pelicans. As I was talking about the Pelicans playing well, the one hiccup over the last couple of weeks has been that Cleveland game. Everything else was smooth for them. The Knicks, they get Julius Randle back, they're dangerous. Orlando, if that's the first round series, Knicks-Orlando, that's really interesting. That's a really good series. Miami sitting there in that seventh spot, dangerous. We haven't heard anything about Joel Embiid, not yet. But Philadelphia without Joel Embiid, they are bad. They are really bad. The fact that they're at the eighth spot when I believe they were the three seed when he got hurt is crazy. Like, they fell off the map. Tyrese Maxey's trying his best to hold together, but he's not enough. Tobias Harris been a no-show. Philadelphia's really bad without Joel Embiid. And they could find themselves not in the playoffs, period, if he doesn't come back. So, those are some of the things I've seen in my top five MVP picks. So we're going to take our last music break. When I come back, I'm going to do a little bit of today in sports history, which is leading to my other topic, all right? We'll be right back.
Granted, power. What's that? Power what? clutch. I'm not gonna lie, I bought my amps to this cutie pie, honey bunch. If you're not busy, take me to lunch. Oh, yeah, I done did it now. With the lunch, you need to one pop it, cruising, one 80 boost, the right tendency. Yeah, you give me up, you one in the belt to get the names, cause they ride in my pocket, baby. And today, I just wanna jiggle my bum and knock your socks off with my what, yeah, yeah.
Ooh, like a nail away.
Welcome back to The Real Deal with Damian Adams. Hopefully you enjoyed that music break. So, I'm doing a new segment, which is kind of a remix of an older segment I used to do. So I used to do a segment called Forgotten Player. My OG Real Deal fans may remember that, where I would go and just give a shout out to a player who may be somewhat forgotten or underrated from the past. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to do Today in Sports History, where I'm giving a shout out to a moment in time, which of course will get to one of my takes. So today is the anniversary of when Michael Jordan announced that he was coming back to the NBA wearing number 45, right? On this day in 1995, he had the facts, "I'm back," which is gangster. To come back and just say "I'm back" with a fax, that would be the equivalent of somebody doing that today with an email saying "I'm back." He played 17 games in the 94-95 season and then played in the playoffs, and the Bulls lost in the second round. And Jordan wasn't the Michael Jordan that we know and love in that season, right? In those 17 games, he scored 27 points a game, which is still great, especially for that time. Grabbed 6.9 rebounds, dished out 5.3 assists, also got 1.8 steals per game. But he wasn't the most efficient. Even a great Michael Jordan couldn't avoid rust, which he had. You play baseball and don't play basketball at all for a year and a half, you're going to be rusty. And Michael Jordan was rusty. He only shot 41% from the field in those 17 games. And you see what I did just now? I was being honest, and I feel like honesty has kind of left the conversation when it comes to basketball discourse. And on social media right now, it's been going on for a little bit now, there's a trend, we're done with the 80s, we're done with the 90s, where content creators will grab clips, or even sometimes it's stretches of games, and be like, "Look at this stretch from the first quarter of this game in 1993, where it looks trash. It was all trash. No more dudes can play." And you can do that with any era. There was a game between the Suns and Nuggets just a couple weeks ago. In the fourth quarter, there was a 2-minute stretch in the fourth quarter where there were probably 6 or 7 straight possessions where each team came down, shot a 3, and missed. Now, that's unusual for the Nuggets. They're usually a great fourth quarter team. I just talked about how the Suns have been the worst fourth quarter team in the NBA, one of the worst of all time. So you can grab segments from Suns games in the fourth quarter and be like, "Look at this. We done with 2024. This is supposed to be the best you have? KD, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, that's what you do in the fourth quarter?" I can do that. I can go on League Pass. I can get those clips if I wanted to. but I'll be being dishonest. And as a sports content creator, as a sports podcaster, as a sports journalist, the one thing we're supposed to be is honest with our takes. Now, if we disagree with each other, that's different, right? Because it's opinions. I think Jordan's the GOAT, but if you think LeBron's the GOAT, that's fine. If you're being honest with your takes. And the whole we're done with the 90s thing is all an attempt to take down Jordan. That's all it comes from. Because the whole, it started, we're done with the 80s. And you're saying Jordan was dominant as an individual in the 80s because the 80s were trash. Even though the greatest point guard of all time, Magic Johnson, played in the 80s. One of the greatest small forwards, probably top three all time, Larry Bird, played in the 80s. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played in the 80s. And you're saying they're all trash because it doesn't look like today. It's a different game. It's a different era. It's going to look different. We can appreciate the past and the present and debate it without being dishonest in this way. The way I was just honest about Jordan's play at the end of the 95 season, you could be honest about it as well. So I can be honest about that and then also back it up by saying in that offseason between 95 and 96, Jordan shook off the rust. And then that 95-96 season, the Bulls had one of the best seasons of all time. 72 wins, only 10 losses, won a championship, Jordan won MVP. Because we can do that, people who believe Jordan is the GOAT can point to things like that and can point to the fact that Jordan never had a playoff series where he was the one who let his team down. Because we have that in our hand, people who believe LeBron's the GOAT had to step to something else and say, oh, well, that whole era was trash. So that makes LeBron the GOAT. But LeBron, as amazing as he is, has his faults. Jordan does as well. I just pointed to some of them. So let's just be honest. LeBron was the best player on a team that was supposed to win a championship against the Dallas Mavericks and came up short. Folded. He folded. LeBron has playoff series where he wasn't the guy that he was supposed to be. Jordan never did that. So I'm not done with the 90s. I'm not done with the 80s. I'm not done with the 2020s. I'm done with the lies. Let's be honest in our takes. We can differ in opinion, but if you're being disingenuous, then there's no point to it. There's no point to it. That's why I've been done with Skip Bayless, because he's, for a long time, he just hasn't been genuine in my opinion. Saying LeBron is ninth all time, like, really? And like I said, I didn't watch Skip to see that. Somebody sent it to me. It was like, really? He's ninth all time on your list? That's not being honest. You're just being dishonest at that point. It's not real. Just saying something. Some of my takes are unpopular, but I believe them wholeheartedly. And I can back them up with real facts. People think I'm crazy for saying Mike Tyson's overrated, but then I can back it up with facts. People think I'm crazy for saying Chris Paul should have won MVP over Kobe Bryant, but I can back it up with facts because I truly believe it and I've done the research. Not being dishonest in my take. So the whole we done with the 90s, we done with the 80s, it's all dishonest. It's not real. That's all I ask, man. I understand that it's for entertainment. And part of it's the trend, so you're like, oh, let me catch on to the trend, let me get the views, let me get the likes, let me get the follows. I get it. And whoever started it, kudos to them, because obviously it worked. But do you want the quick follow? Do you want the one-time like? Or do you want sustainability? And I believe I'm building sustainability. It may be slow and steady, but it's sustainable because it's real. And a lot of the stuff from sports content creators aren't real. The ones who are real, we should pay attention to them more. Pay attention to the people who are giving real analysis on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter. The people who are being honest in their takes on those platforms, on podcasts like this one. So hopefully you enjoyed my little rant here at the end. This is the end of this episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Please share it with your friends and family. Please give it a 5-star rating. I would truly appreciate it. Follow me on all social media platforms at The Real Deal WDA for those real deal honest takes. Because I'm always dropping bombs over Baghdad. Make sure you check out everything I'm doing and share with your friends. And until next time, go real or go home.